Welcome to KETR's Locker Room, the one and only sports podcast for Northeast Texas. I'm Cooper Welch here with my other hosts, Ryan Billups and Taylor Phelps. Say hello, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, this week we've got a special guest, Coach Kobe Carthel. He's the new head coach for the Lions football team. We're going to ask him a few questions. We'll also get into some other stuff, some controversial topics. We'll talk a little math, a little college basketball, and then we'll wrap it up with the A&M Commerce Week in Review. All right, so let's first go to Coach Carthel. Coach Carthel, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, shoot, I'm a new head football coach here. My world's been spinning the last couple of weeks, and living over here in Smith Hall, trying to recruit a team and build one here up as well. But, you know, originally I grew up in Freona, Texas, up in the Panhandle, and I went to college down at Angelo State in the Lone Star and played football there. Went from there to Abilene Christian, coach of D-line, recruiting coordinator there, and then from there up working with my pops at West Texas A&M as a defense coordinator past 7 years there. So that's a little bit about, you know, kind of where I'm from and what I've done, I guess, in a nutshell.
All right, Coach Carthel, we wanted to ask you, what drew you to A&M Commerce?
Well, I think, you know, the potential is one big draw. I think there's a lot of great things here to sell. Number one being the people. You know, I've looked at jobs. You always do as you're moving up in the world a little bit and having some success, and you want to work for good people. And I think they made a dynamite hire with Ryan Ivey as our athletic director. I did a lot of research on Dr. Jones, and so, you know, the two people I'm working for, you know, I've got a lot of confidence in and faith in. So that was a big draw. And then just you know, this community, real similar to Canyon, Texas, where I came in terms of size. I enjoy that. There's great people here. The roads are a little bumpy around town.
That's true.
But, you know, other than that, that's about the only negative thing I've found about Commerce, Texas.
Right. And we're working on that, too.
Well, I hope so. Yeah. I was teasing them. Shoot, I got here and the roads got worse behind Whitley Gym. Yeah, they're putting sure in did. Some new sewage system. Yeah. But, no, you know, the people, the location is really critical in terms of being successful in football. Mm-hmm. Really close to some great athletes. You can walk out of here, you know, 15, 20, 30 miles, shake a pine tree, and players fall out. So
that's true.
That was a big draw as well. But, you know, they've got such great tradition here and, you know, some untapped resources that I think get the right people in here and working hard, maybe we can turn this thing around.
Coach Carthel, I have a question for you. While you're here at Commerce, what's one thing you want to see change?
Well, probably the win total in the football program, I think, or I'm not going to be around here long. But, no, you know, I think wins are important, and I think we'll do what we need to do as a staff and as a team to do that. And that will change, I think, the overall culture. You know, just, you know, athletics is the front porch of the university, and like it or not, you know, football is usually king, especially here in Texas. So, you know, we were able to see some great changes in the school, in the community, and just in everybody's attitude around Canyon when we turn that thing around there at West Texas. And so that's going to be the neatest thing to see changed here.
I want to ask you, what are your expectations for the West Texas game when we go and play them?
Oh, shoot, grab a root and growl, man. That's good Lord has a funny sense of humor. That's going to be the season opener up there at Kimbrough, and, you know, we'll be coming off the game at Cowboy Stadium, going up there for that one. And we've got, you know, several guys on this staff that were part of that staff last year. They're going to be a preseason favorite to win the national championship. You know, they've got 35 or 6 seniors coming back off a national semifinalist team, the defensive player of the year in the country, the preseason favorite to win the Harlan Hill. So they'll be heavily favored, but we'll have a thing or two up our sleeve and
gotcha.
Going there to win the ball game.
Coach Carthel, what's the most important thing you tell parents of recruits when you go to talk to them?
Well, you know, I tell them it's about relationships, and it's about people, and you know, we're gonna be building this thing with good people coaching them, good people playing, you know, beside them, and good people supporting them here at the university. So, you know, that's the biggest thing is selling the people that they're going to be involved with, or their sons are going to be involved with, and just to believe in the vision. We were able to sign 37 players last Wednesday, and you know, we didn't have a coordinator on staff, didn't have a full-time coach on staff. And so those kids are coming for the right reason. They're believing in what we're going to be building here and believing in the future. So we're getting the right kids.
Good, good.
Coach Carthel, to catch you up on last week's show, we have a section called controversial topic of the week. And last week's controversial topic is, do you think college athletes should be paid? Do you have a an opinion on that?
Well, you know, I think, you know, some people say they are paid with their scholarship, and that is, you know, true. But at the same time, you know, rules are set in place where these guys can't, you know, get a job, and they, you know, they don't have any spending money and everything else. So, you know, at the Division I level, especially where it's a multi-billion dollar, you know, industry or million or whatever it is, it's a lot of money. And, you know, they're kind of, you know, using the guys for their talents and to put on a show to get rich. And those kids, you know, aren't able to buy a new pair of shoes without hitting up mom and dad. And they're the ones that are out there, you know, doing it. And you see all the injuries that are happening and concussions and things like that, the safety issues with the sport. You know, I think there's got to be a happy medium. I don't think they need to be paid lucratively. But I think, you know, you're going to start seeing in NCAA college football, especially at Division I level, maybe, you know, getting an extra stipend, you know, of a couple hundred bucks for spending money. And I think that's fair.
So you're very familiar with the Lone Star Conference, Angelo, Abilene, West Texas. Is this your first time to ever live in East Texas in this area?
And don't forget Eastern New Mexico. I was a ball boy there for 7 years. Yeah, 85 to 91, by golly. Kept those balls coming in to the referees. So I've been just about everywhere in this league, but this is my first time to live in East Texas. When I was a kid, I guess we lived in Boswell. My dad coached there at Boswell High School. But first time to be out here. I've been out here a lot recruiting. That's the one downfall about the job at West Texas. You were 8 hours from anybody who can run a 4.6. So
sure.
So we've been out here, and that's what is a big draw, you know, just being able to be so close to athletes in the East Texas, Dallas, Fort Worth area, but also, you know, Houston, San Antonio, Austin, Waco. Mm-hmm. You know, that's an afternoon drive for these kids, and I think we'll see some great retention, you know, with some of the problems we've had in the past retaining freshmen at West Texas. So I think that'll be good to build a stronger team with a high school base over the next 5 or 6, 7 years.
Right. Now, you're not a basketball coach, but we wanted to ask you a little bit, what do you think of the one-and-done system in college basketball?
Or college football with
players. Or college football,
early.
Yes.
What is one-and-done?
Like a kid coming freshman year and then going to the professional.
Oh, yeah. You know, college football's got a three-year
grace
period, and I think that's really smart because, you know, that's a game of men, and you've got to have an education. You know, people don't realize how short the average career is in the NFL, and it's very, very short. And I saw some stat one time, 72% of former NFL players, you know, after 2 years being done in the NFL have either a substance abuse problem or bankrupt or divorced. And that's not a very good club to go join.
No.
And, you know, unfortunately, you know, if you're uneducated, you know, you don't have a lot to fall back on if you're just using your physical talent. So I think it's a great rule in football, basketball. You know, I guess it's one done. I don't pay a lot of attention. Don't tell Coach Walker. But, you know, I think they should stick around a little bit because it's, you know, you need an education. That's what this is about.
All right. Guys, do you have anything else for Coach Carthel?
Yeah, I have one more. Even though, okay, we just talked about the one and done and then football being 3 years, even though we do know that education is very important, what about, like, helping players like Danny Mason and some of our, you know, more prestigious players reaching their goal of the NFL? How do you really help them do that? Is there any method?
Well, right now I'm just trying to help Danny get a pro day set up where he can get some scouts in here. And I think, you know, you'll see, you know, we'll bring some high-level talent in here to Commerce, you know, locally and coast to coast. We'll go coast to coast for impact transfers. And, you know, at West Texas, I hate to keep talking about them, but we've had a lot of guys going and play, and you know, so we're going to put out a good product, and they're going to be good kids that are responsible and dependable, and that's one thing. There's a lot of great athletes out there, and the NFL scouts are looking for somebody that's above and beyond that, and so if they make it through our program, they're going to have something to them, and the scouts will know that, and you know, I've got a great relationship with most all the scouts in the NFL that recruit or scout the Southwest area. And so they'll come in and know they're getting a fair shake and know what they're getting with the kids we've got. And we'll do everything we can to help promote them and get them into all-star games and get them every look they can, because it's pretty cool to make it.
Mm-hmm. All right, Coach. We're going to move on to the rapid-fire section of the podcast. This is a new section we're introducing today. So here we go, Coach. I'm going to start the bed music, and we'll get going.
All right, I'll go ahead and ask the first question. What is your favorite sport?
Oh, we'll go with football.
Who'd have thought?
All right, Coach. Favorite athlete?
Nolan Ryan.
Oh. Favorite team?
sports
A&M
team.
A&M Commerce Lions.
There we go, yeah.
All right, are you a fan of Tony Romo or not?
I like Tony Romo. I don't know that he's the guy.
Okay.
Gotcha.
College or professional sports?
College, all the way.
Who is your Super Bowl winner for next year?
Houston Texans. Go Wade Phillips, Bobby King, friends
right.
of mine.
Switching it to music, what's your favorite band?
Merle Haggard and the Strangers.
Hottest woman in the world, Coach?
Sarah Carthel.
Sarah Carthel, okay.
Do you like or hate mascots?
Oh, I love mascots. They bring a lot of excitement and fun to the games.
All right. What is your last movie you saw in theaters?
Ooh, don't know.
It's been that long.
Yeah, next question.
All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, how weird are you?
If my wife was answering, probably 10.
10, okay.
I'd say probably 8 or 9. I'm an odd duck.
Right. If you could be any character in fiction, movie, or book, who would you be?
Fiction's not true.
Not true.
Right.
Thor, because my wife thinks he's hot.
Okay, 5 things you take with you out of a burning building.
Oh, shoot. Any pictures I've got and any, I guess, some clothes.
Football.
You can buy another one of those.
That's true.
I'd get my wife and my dogs and shoot keys to the car and get as far away as I could, I guess.
All right. All right, Coach, if you could have one superpower, what would you have?
One superpower? Oh, shoot, I guess, I don't know what it's, I guess be able to fly, that'd be cool.
That'd be cool. If you'd win the lottery, what's the number one thing you'd do?
Well, I'd help out people who need it, you know, I mean, just to an extent, and then I'd buy a ranch.
If there was a movie about your life, who would you see play the lead role?
Jeez, I don't know. Not Tom Cruise. He's an idiot.
All right.
Fair enough.
Would you rather live alone on a tropical island or with a lot of people in Antarctica?
Oh, probably a lot of people in Antarctica. I'm not cold.
Would you rather... No. Would you rather fight Mike Tyson or talk like him the rest of your life?
Or talk like him? Jeez, I can't even do an impersonation. I'd rather fight him. I'd knock his butt out.
Okay, Coach. Would you rather find true love or win $1 million?
I found true love, so let's go for the million now.
Let's go for a million, all right.
All right, would you rather lie every time or tell the truth every time?
Tell the truth. It's the only way to conduct business.
And the last one, which rich and ugly or poor and good looking?
Oh, shoot, I guess I'm poor and ugly, and so rather be rich and good looking, I guess.
I got you.
All right, Coach, thank you so much for that rapid-fire section. We're going to move on to our next segment of the show. You're welcome to stay with us as long as you can, but we'll be right back right after this.
OMG. I'm so, so excited to show the judges I'm up next. So, judges, am I up next? Am I going to Hollywood?
I don't mean to be rude, but that really wasn't very good.
Yeah, dog. It was kind of pitchy, you know, dog. I'm going to have to say no.
I feel like you're trying to sound like me. There's only one me. I am the one and only. For the best and latest hip-hop and R&B from up-and-coming artists that actually have talent, tune into Up Next every Friday night at 9 on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Hi, I'm Mike Cuthbert, host of Primetime Radio here on 88.9 KETR Radio. We like to say our target audience is folks 50 and above, their parents, and their children. That's why we talk about a wide variety of subjects, including healthcare, sports, romance, and second careers, with guests like Dolly Parton, General Colin Powell, Jane Fonda, Russell Simmons, Bill O'Reilly, and Ben Vereen. Join us, won't you, Friday afternoon at 3 for good adult conversation on your station, 88.9 KETR.
You're listening to KETR's Locker Room, the one and only sports podcast show for Northeast Texas. I'm Cooper Welch. Alongside with me is Ryan Phillips and Taylor Phelps. Say hello, guys.
How's it going?
All right. Coach Carthel had to leave us, but we've still got us here, so that's more than good enough for you guys. That's more than you deserve. No,
don't tell him the bad news.
All right, let's move on to the next part of our show, the controversial topic. We already asked the good Coach Carthel what he thought of the one-and-done system, but let's get our opinions. Ryan, first, what do you think of the one-and-done system? Is it good, bad, or just necessary?
Well, I think I agree with Coach Carthel. I think the problem right now is that with how the rule is, you're making a mockery of the educational system by saying you don't mind if a player comes in, takes minimal hours in the easiest classes possible for 1 year, and then uses his spotlight and fame from playing at your campus to catapult himself into the NBA. I think the NBA should adopt a system similar to the MLB system. The MLB players, basically they get a choice, so it ensures the accountability of the athlete's decision. Basically, the player right out of high school can choose to go pro, mm-hmm. or he can choose to go to college. And if he goes to college, he has to stay there for 3 years.
Okay.
That ensures he gets an education, at least in a degree. The average NBA life is 6 years. So assuming that a player does the one-and-done system, goes into the NBA, and maybe does it for 6 years, you know, what if he gets hurt? What if he blows all his money, like Coach Carthel was saying? You know, a lot of these players with their spending habits.
Allen Iverson.
I know millions of dollars sounds like a lot of money, but when you're paying, you know, you're buying million-dollar houses, you know, it's all of a sudden not that much. And I think assuring that they have a degree gives the players a fallback.
Right.
So that's my opinion on the one-and-done system.
I don't want to say that it's good or bad. I do think it's necessary. It's just the way basketball lends itself to be. Football is 3 years because there's a lot of a difference between a grown man and these one-year college players. There are people who can play. I think that the best thing about it that people don't think is that they want them to go to college, and that's not it. I think David Stern wants them to get the experience and the coaching from those college coaches more than they just tell you. I think that's a lot of the problem with those people that came in. I think we started seeing people like Kwame Brown come in the league. Mm-hmm. And just bust, where if they had gone to college, scouting would have been better on these people. You've been able to watch them on national television all the time. Just things work out better when they have that extra year. You really get to see them develop. You get to see them develop by better coaching, because in high school, some of these kids just dominate because it's just competition's more spread out. In college basketball, everyone's more competitive. Right. So, and we're going to see some people, I think, start to go straight to Europe and play.
That's already happened.
Start off, and Brandon Jennings did that, and
because they only have to be 19.
And it worked out well for him. Like Ricky Rubio, I think, was playing professional basketball like 16 years old.
That's just
how it is over there. You can make a lot of money younger,
and because he's a very talented.
And he's very talented. I mean, in Spain, he was one of the best players in the world.
I think right out of high school, the beauty of the MLB system is there are players that are good enough to go straight from high school into the NBA. Look at LeBron James. Right out of high school, he can go straight to the NBA and begin dominating.
It's true.
Kobe Bryant's another example. Andrew Bynum, Kevin Garnett.
But even when they first came in, they had some of those people that were successful, like Kobe, had a lot of help. They cannot just come in and dominate. It's impossible. I don't ever believe that anyone can just come
in
and completely dominate.
But they can be good enough to play in the NBA.
They have the talent level to compete, yes.
Right.
And maybe they should, because we start thinking about it. That's their career. They're making money. They're going to make millions of dollars. That's an extra year of millions of dollars of income. So in a way, they do have a right to come into the league.
Yeah, because what happens if they're forced to go play 1 year of college basketball?
And then they get hurt.
Getting a huge injury.
And that happened to Greg Oden.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Greg Oden's career is...
Yes, and his career is shot.
He's coming back next year, supposedly.
Supposedly Miami.
Hopefully to
our
Dallas Mavericks, but...
I don't want Greg Oden.
Well, okay.
And a lot of people thought Greg Oden was the best player coming in.
Yeah,
he was drafted
true.
Number one. I personally thought he was going to be better.
I would have chosen Greg Oden.
Yeah, he was going to be the Naismith winner.
And look how much better
Kevin Durant
turned out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have to look at it that way. Some of these kids need to go straight out of high school and start making money immediately to bring their family money. Because some of these kids need that money, income. They don't need a year of college.
That's true.
Because what's the year of college going to do them if they're planning on leaving anyways? They're not getting an education. I mean, they're not getting a degree. They're just going to probably take the easiest classes possible.
I think
possible
it's more the
through.
Development, though. The coach's development. Like, John Calipari is apparently a mastermind NBA developer from what he's put into the league. I mean, Derrick Rose, DeMarcus Cousins, John Wall, I mean, all people that have played for him. So,
but why 19? Why not 18, which is the legal age? You know,
because I don't think the high school coaching is as good as the league. And okay,
some kids
there are clubs. There are club basketball
raw talent to make it though.
Yeah, I think they do, but I think once you make it to the NBA, you need to be developed. You need to have.
It's not just the raw talent we want in the NBA anymore. We want the coaching, the basketball.
And that's the
smarts.
Problem with the league. Part of right. the problem with the league is the undeveloped talent.
Well,
that
but
just
look
comes
at LeBron James. He was a raw talent coming into the league. He couldn't really shoot that well.
That's true.
But he was a bulldozer going to the hole and is beneficial for any team in the league right out of high school.
And
right.
LeBron James, though, but some of these one and done players bring more business to the college game.
That's true.
I mean, when Kevin Durant came in, there's a lot more excitement around college players. What if all of these good high school players are going straight overseas and straight to the NBA and they're busting everywhere? I think it's more of a problem with the players that busted than the players that made it. It's not LeBron James and Kobe and KG
right.
and all those people that made it. It's the people like Kwame Brown and the different bust like Greg Oden and stuff that have changed these rules to where you get an extra year to look at them and see how healthy they are, mm-hmm. how they develop, how they listen to coaches. There's a lot more. You got to listen to coaches more in college because you're
true.
Not just going to win. You're yeah. not just yeah. able to just go and win. And people like LeBron James, that's once in a lifetime. That's not going to happen. When's the last time we had a player come to the league like LeBron?
Kobe.
Since LeBron.
Kobe. I mean, Michael
Let's
Jordan.
Do since LeBron.
Yeah, since LeBron, no one.
Oh, since LeBron, no one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is a once-in-a-generation thing. I don't think yeah. 1 year would have hurt LeBron, even though you could say he got injured, but he hasn't gotten injured in the league, and the league's a lot easier to get injured, I believe, than college.
That's Kevin Durant's probably a guy who could have come. But that's the problem. After LeBron, there weren't all, I mean,
there
what,
wasn't anybody
what
coming.
Year was it? What year was it?
Was it a couple years
it
after.
It was a couple, because it was right after Andrew Bynum, who was 2 years after
yeah.
LeBron.
2 years. So 2 years chances for there to be a LeBron.
That's true.
You look at maybe a Kevin Durant, who could have gone straight from high school and begin dominating. I mean, there's some of
Derrick
these guys
Rose.
That, Derrick, yeah, there's some of these guys that could have done it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's hurting the college game a little, because these coaches are going and getting these one-year guys, but they're not even meeting the grade requirements.
Right.
Like, Derrick Rose didn't even take an SAT.
Right.
So this is things that, yeah. well, maybe we're going to end up getting a lot of national championships revoked, not because of paying the players, but because they're not academic standing.
It makes the college and educational system look bad
right.
when these
well,
players come in. And
Let's look at what's happening to the college teams, too. Like, last year, Kentucky won the national championship, and now they're probably not going to make
it.
Yeah, all five players left. Now they probably won't even make
it. But you know that's what he does.
That's who he is.
He goes after these players who he knows are going to be one and done.
Right.
Because the players know that he has a history of sending these guys to the NBA.
Yeah.
Players who are one and done players are going to want to go to him and know that they can go straight to the NBA right afterwards.
He runs an NBA developmental league instead of a college basketball program.
Yeah.
But also with these one and dones, if we were to keep these kids in school for 3 years, 3 or 4 years, I mean, what if Calipari was to have racked up Derrick Rose and Kevin Durant and all of these people on the same team, and they would have been there for 3 years? There would have been no competition in college basketball. It would have been a runaway
right.
with the championships.
And that's
so
why
I think it changes more.
Sport,
you won't
though.
See teams like Butler. You will
so,
not see teams
so
like Butler.
You're saying the one and done system encourages competition.
And encourages competition.
But those players wouldn't
it.
Have all gone to Kentucky
That's true.
Had there not been a one-and-done system.
What?
A lot of these players, for instance, Duke, there was a player last year who Duke just stopped recruiting, one of the top players in the nation. They just stopped recruiting completely.
Because he didn't want to stay.
Because he was going to be a one-and-done guy, and he's just not worth it.
Yeah. And that's not Duke's system. They want
yeah,
you
they
there.
Yeah, they
want
players
you there.
To develop. Right.
And so I think the game would completely change if it was a three-year program. You wouldn't see the players come in and basically pick a program solely based on
their
how well
skills,
they're going to get them
yeah.
to the pro. Yeah.
I
yeah.
still think, though, people like Calipari are going to cherry pick these kids and they're going to get five of the best guys.
Right.
And they're going to put them through 3 years of domination. I mean, it's just going to happen. I mean, if you're the best player in the country and a coach comes and recruits you and gets you to his school, then you go talk to the second best player in the country. I think you're going to have teams like Alabama in football. You're going to have a dominant, just someone that just dominates. And it becomes boring because, I mean, look at the SEC now. The SEC is just completely dominant in football. There's no
right.
reason to watch Big 12 or ACC or SEC. I mean, the Big 10, things like that. Since they've dominated, it's just everybody watch SEC because it's the next best thing to NFL.
Right.
So
I think there's always going to be a cycle, though, in every team's sport.
And there
some
are.
Years, Duke's always going to be good because they have great coaching. But every year, they're not going to win the national champ. Every year, they're that's not going to win. You look at Kentucky this year.
But that's partially due to the one-and-done system. That's part of the reason.
That's true.
We'll look at a Duke program who doesn't have guys leaving after 1 year. They go in their ups and downs the same way. Same with North Carolina. They have their ups and downs.
I think it depends on what you like to see. I mean, I like to see teams like Butler excel, but I like to see the fluctuation in these one-and-dones, and then a team like Butler come through and make it to the national championship game. Because when teams like Butler make it, is because these teams leave, so you'll have someone sneak in. Where if you just become these four dominant mega teams, like if you had Duke, Kentucky, I don't know, Notre Dame, Michigan State, someone just
Louisville.
And Tom Izzo's a good coach, he could do that too.
Yeah.
Louisville, Rick Pitino's a good coach. Like if you had these coaches just build these massive teams, you're gonna hurt other teams recruiting and you're gonna hurt the competition of the game in its whole. And I think people you look at it like Ryan too. I mean, it does make sense, but the same, it just changes.
Okay. Well, let me ask y'all y'all's opinion on it. Do y'all think it would be more beneficial for, not for the NBA or for the players, but for college basketball itself? Do you think it would be more beneficial to have a three-year program?
I think it would be. I think it would bring so much more money to schools and just boost up the academic agenda again and make schools look better.
True.
Like Taylor said, make more consistent teams if that happened. But like he said also, it would.
I think it'll ruin the competition factor.
Yeah, it could.
I think they can make a lot of. I think
the level
of
play would rise dramatically.
Yeah. That's true.
Oh, without a doubt.
I mean, it would become the NBA development
because
league.
A lot of players.
Yeah, it'll be like a minor league system for the NBA.
I mean, think about some of the great players who aren't good until their junior or senior year of college, who sat on the bench their freshman and sophomore year, or maybe get minimum, who weren't one and done guys, but developed over those 4 years. Yeah. And became great. I think you would see just incredible competition.
But I think it's going to limit some of those guys too. I know it's hard it'd be hard for me if I'm coaching at Kentucky. I coach the best talent. I get the best talent in the world.
Right.
And in the United States that I can find. And in the world, they go overseas too. Mm-hmm. I get the best talent I can find and I put it out there. If I have the five best guys, they're going to play. Those guys that are 7, 8, and 9, they may not get a lot of playing time. They might not get to develop. Whereas if these guys left and went to the NBA, then my next group of talent could develop. Maybe they weren't as good. Someone else would get better. Mm-hmm. And then we would reach that level again. So I think the fluctuation in talent's going to change. But the problem with that is if they were to stay.
Right. Okay. Well, let me ask you guys one more thing, and then we'll end this segment. If you were a parent in this system, would you let your kid go and get the guaranteed money of the NBA, or would you make him go through more than 1 year of college?
Absolutely. If I were a parent of a LeBron James, I would send him straight out of high school into the NBA. I would not risk his possible injury, to make millions of dollars in a job in this world is not an easy thing to do.
Very true.
And to get to play a sport that you love and do that, I just, that's unmatched anywhere. To make millions of dollars in the business world, I mean, years and years of experience to work your way up to that. As a parent, I mean, if I thought my child was ready, I would send them.
It's simple. Just accomplish. I tell them to accomplish their dream. If their dream is to go to the NBA, do it. You don't get that chance. You may never get that chance again. And that's why I think we need to think from the players' perspectives on this too, that, you know, leaving is their dream. That is their dream is not a college education. That's some people's dream, and that's
a one
not
and done
is
not
dream.
Their a college education. I mean, they're not looking.
It's really not that much more.
It's nothing more. Outside of just the getting to play a year in college.
It's true, but I think it will help them develop to help reach that dream. I think that 1 year does so much more than people realize, and it teaches them so much more about the game that they're just not getting in these AAU leagues and high school basketball, that they can develop from great basketball minds. Think, there's only, 30 NBA coaches? There's not that many NBA coaches. So what's the next best thing? College coaching. College coaching is very hard. That's a very hard job to get itself, and they make millions of dollars.
But won't a good NBA coach develop a player right out of high
school? It's hard in an 82-game season, though. You come in and you need to be developed.
But that's why they have developmental leagues, and they have assistant coaches that can work with the rookies.
Are the coaches in developmental leagues better than the coaches in college?
Right.
Calipari could be an NBA coach.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be a developmental league coach.
See, the argument
he's
here...
He's in the NBA system still.
Right. But the argument is that right now the D-League isn't a minor league thing. It's just another league they can play in. What needs to happen if the D-League is going to be the minor leagues is each team have a D-League team, which they don't. Not all teams have a D-League team. And they all need to treat the D-League like it's their farm system, like baseball. Instead, they just send players there that they just don't want to cut ties with, but they usually don't even bring them back.
Oh,
they'll just leave
them
there.
And the D-League's becoming a joke.
You don't normally see coaches put their first-round pick into the D-League.
Right.
You don't.
And that's what would be good
for them. If anything else,
they
sit at the bottom of the bench and practice with the NBA-quality players.
The Texas Legends wanted to get Allen Iverson and Delonte West. That's not a developmental league, trying to get to guys that have been in trouble or washed up or whatever you want to call it.
They're
that's
their
all
own
they
league. They're trying to get their own
They're trying
fans
to make
there.
Money. They're trying to make money and get fans all the same as the regular teams are. It's like they're not even coexist with each other.
What needs to happen is every team own a D-League team and use that as their development system and make their players go there, their first-round picks, instead of sitting them on a bench the whole year. Like, okay, we saw that guy from Utah Bernadette or something like that. Jimmy Fredette or something like
Fredette.
Yeah.
Sacramento.
Yeah. He went to the Sacramento Kings. He was drafted in the first round, wasted a whole lot of money on him, and everyone knew he was going to be a bust, but they still wasted a first-round pick on him. I think if they'd sent him to a D-League coach and let him get a lot of experience with other first-round picks instead of just take the Summer Vegas League, where people like Gary Neal for the Spurs developed, things like that.
Are you talking about the BYU player?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Jimmer Fredette. There we go. But send players like that to the D-Leagues, and if there's other players like that in the D-Leagues, they can all grow up together. They can all get more experience, and then send them to the NBA. So that's what I'm thinking. All right, that's enough for that topic. We're going to move on to some more basketball. We're going to talk Michael Jordan. Can he still play? The Mavericks, college basketball, and A&M Commerce basketball to finish out that segment. We'll be right back. This is KETR's Locker Room.
In a world overrun by formulaic, cookie-cutter, predictable radio stations, there remains one radio refuge where you can still find hand-picked, eclectic playlists featuring artists from all around the great state of Texas. With the genre barriers torn down, we can bring you an incredible mixture of music unrivaled in Northeast Texas. Notably Texan, starring the Music of Texas, featuring Matt Minky, tonight at 6 on KETR.
This is KETR's Locker Room. This is Taylor Phelps introducing us. This is Ryan Billups, my co-host with me, and Cooper Welch. We're going to start this segment with talking about a 49-year-old man about to be 50.
Almost 50, yes.
Coming back to the NBA, possibly.
He turns 50 on February 17th.
Is it Sunday, right?
Sunday, February 17th.
This Sunday.
Possibly
also
the greatest.
Paris Hilton's birthday.
Okay, good to know.
Possibly the greatest sports athlete of all time for his sport, Michael Jordan.
For any sport.
Yes,
arguably.
For any sport. To arguably the greatest winner, too, of any sport, with 6 championships and a break in between to play baseball. So I want to start off talking about Michael Jordan and if this is a possibility, if he could actually achieve a goal. Now, I know Michael Jordan's very well-driven. After his first 3 championships, he talked about how he lost drive because it became too easy. It was too easy to win championships for him. Basketball, he had accomplished everything he could ever dream in basketball, and he came back to do the same thing again after the hunger. He got the hunger back. So is he hungry again? I'm not sure. I know this is a man who averaged 30.1 points per game in the NBA. That's a ridiculous number. I don't know how many people have scored 30 points in a high school game.
Right.
It's very hard to do. 5.3 assists, 6.2 rebounds, had decent numbers there. But we're talking about one of the greatest scorers of all time. And I know that scoring has a lot to do with how your athletic ability is.
Right.
I think the reason John Stockton was able to make it so long in the league was he had the body to. He was kind of shorter. Mm-hmm. He was more of an endurance player. He wasn't real strong, wasn't real physical. So a lot of people can dribble the ball around and pass. I mean, he did it at a very high level for a very
Jason
long time.
Kidd.
Jason Kidd's the same way.
Right.
Just a different body type. Michael Jordan's more of a, I'm going to post you up, I can shoot it, and I'm going to take it to the hole, I'm going to get fouled. He scored a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
If he came back, you would see more of a Kobe game now.
Right.
You would see more of a jump shooter, back-to-the-basket kind of guy, turnaround jumpers. Mm-hmm. And you saw that a lot with Washington. When he played with Washington,
when he played
you
with
saw
the
his game completely change. Mm-hmm. You see glimpses of it, kind of like Vince Carter, even though he's not – Vince Carter's only like 34, 35, not 50. But I just don't think – I've seen Michael Jordan. I've seen him on TV. I've seen what he looks like. I don't know if he has the physical ability to come back. I don't even know if he could play 20 minutes a game. I just don't know what he could do. And I see Michael Jordan as the type of person who, if he was to come back, he would have to dominate. It's in his nature. He doesn't – that's how he plays the game. If he's not dominating, he doesn't want to play. That hunger will be gone. And it would drive him crazy to me to just come in and be a 20-minute guy, come off the bench and try to score, because that's not who he is.
Well, if you remember when he was when he came back to play for the Washington Wizards in 2001 and 2003, he was 39 and 40 years old in those two seasons, and he averaged 21.2 points a game over those two seasons as a 40-year-old man. Granted, he wasn't the same player he was before.
Not even
he was
close,
in isolation. Back to the basket, you know, jump shooter basically.
He was also playing with the
but he was still
Wizards.
Shooting 45% in that last year.
That's true. His shooting percentage didn't drop that much, and that's a big indication of what type of player you are.
Right, he a timeless player, and that's why I think if he was in the right shape and if he really wanted to do it,
and if he was on the right team,
he could come in. And the reason we're having this conversation, Antoine Jamison came out this last week and said, his quote was, "I wouldn't doubt that in the right situation with a LeBron James on his team or with a Kobe Bryant on this team, he could get you about 10 or 11 points, come in and play 15 to 20 minutes."
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying, about 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. But I still don't think, like, I think, what are you going to do at the end of the game when you have Kobe and Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
Who are you going to give the ball to?
Yeah. You're going to go to Kobe.
Yeah.
You say that.
Michael Jordan's
50
years old.
What is Mike going to say?
Michael Jordan's like, "Give me the ding ball."
Michael's going to show up in the huddle and say, "All right, everyone give me the ball.
Right.
Move out the way.
Let's see how they're playing
this game."
You know
and I don't care. I don't care what anyone says. I know. I don't know Michael Jordan personally, but I know what kind of type of person he is. I've seen him speak. I've seen the way his competitive nature is. There's no possible way you can ever convince me that at the end of a game, Michael Jordan is not going to take the ball. I mean, he's going to take it.
Well, it's easy if he's playing with LeBron James. Everybody would be rooting for Michael to get the ball.
Yeah.
Kobe's
one of the best finishers in all time history.
Right.
Along with Michael Jordan.
here's another thing. He can only play for the Bobcats, I would think, since he owns the Bobcats. He would either have to sell the Bobcats.
I don't think he would do it in that situation.
Yeah.
I think if he came back, the only thing he'd do is go with the Bobcats. Because I think when he was with Washington, he was the GM.
Yeah, he was the general manager.
He was the general manager. So I think that's the reason, that's the only team he can go to.
Yeah, because
I think he'd feel the same way.
Because Michael Jordan wouldn't want to go to the Wizards any other time.
I think the only way Michael Jordan would come back is if Charlotte was relative. I think they would have to be a relative basketball team.
At least
he can't be the man.
Yeah. He would have to be two or three games below 500 at worst for him to come back. Have a good team, good center, or a good point guard, something like that. Something that he could work with and still be the dominant ball handler.
But to go back to what Antoine Jamison said, I think he could get you 10 or 11 points. I really do. I think he could average that over a season.
He definitely could.
In those 15 to 20 minutes, if he got more.
Oh,
minutes,
I'm not going to doubt. I'm not going to doubt Michael Jordan can get 10 points in an NBA game.
I mean, think about it. That's that's two or three jump shots, get to the foul line. I mean, he can get to 10 or 11 points a game. It's just going to depend on what kind of
system he would have to work out for a very long time. He would have to have a year almost worth of I think he would have to have a year almost of retraining his body, getting in shape, shooting, defense. He would have to, there must be so much adjustments. When you go out 10 years, he's been like 10 years out of the league. That's that's a long time to catch back up to speed with the way things are.
Right. All right. Real quick, because we got to move on to the next topic in this segment. Let's just give a yes or no answer. Is he coming back?
No.
No.
Okay, I don't think so either. I think ESPN just brought this up.
So why are we talking about it? I don't know.
Hey, because we want to. This is our dream. 90s kids' dreams.
Oh, yes. To see Michael Jordan again? Oh. Yeah.
All right.
But if he did come back, I think we're all in unanimous decision that we'd be all for it.
I want him to come back.
We want him to come back, but we don't think he will. All right, let's move on. Let's go to the Mavs. First, before we talk specifically Mavs, who are the five best teams in the NBA right now?
Okay. I have the number one team in the NBA as the Miami Heat. Okay. I have the number two team as the Oklahoma City Thunder. I have the number three team as the New York Knicks. I have the number four team as the LA Clippers, and I have the number five team. I know Cooper's giving me eyes right now because I haven't said his Spurs, but I give the number five team to the San Antonio Spurs.
Okay, I was going to get a little angry with you if you didn't have them at least in the top five.
You know, they have an awesome season, it seems like, every year.
Right.
They're going to have to prove to me that they're not old this postseason.
Okay. Taylor?
I'm going to start with my number one team the same. I'm going to go with the Heat. I don't think the Heat will win the championship, but okay. I do think they're the number one team. I think my number two team is Los Angeles, the Clippers, not the Lakers. I think, and they're my pick to win it all. I really think the Clippers
will
win
it all.
How
funny is it that it's not the Lakers, though?
Right.
Yeah, how fast does the sports world change?
Right.
I think the Clippers will be able to fend off Oklahoma and San Antonio overall. I think they've reached that level. I think Blake Griffin's playing at a championship-type level as an individual player.
Right.
And I think Chris Paul's the best point guard in basketball. I don't think there's any doubt there. People might say other things, but I think he's the best. Third, another West team. I think the Spurs are third. I think the Spurs, just based off record, who they have. I mean, they have everyone they've had when they've been successful, so how could you say they're not? I think injuries will hurt them in the postseason again, just like it did with Memphis when they played Memphis back then.
2 years ago.
Right. Yeah, 2 years ago. And I think another West team is fourth. I think the West is the strongest. I think Oklahoma City is fourth. It's Kevin Durant. That's all you have to say. And then my fifth team is tough because there's so many people right there, but I think I have to go back to the West. Back to the East. I think it's between maybe Golden State. I think Golden State and the West. I think the East team that I would probably put number five, even though they've been slipping lately, I'm probably going to say the Knicks. I think Carmelo. That's another thing. I just have to say Carmelo, and that's it.
And Amari Stoudemire.
And Amari Stoudemire coming back. He's playing well. Jason Kidd's playing there. Mm-hmm. Tyson Chandler, those two people that have championship experience, they know how to get there. So,
and that's unfortunately, it's not with the Mavericks this year as well.
Right.
Yeah, they've had some injuries which have hurt them a little bit, but I think they'll get back to that form. I think their coaching is good, and I think they'll be there in the end. I'd like to pick it as the Knicks. Maybe the Knicks. I think it'll be the Knicks and Clippers or Heat Clippers, but it'll be a really good series between the Knicks and the Heat, I think,
when they match up. Cooper, who do you have as your top five?
All right, I'm gonna go opposite you guys. I'm going to start from five and work my way up.
All right.
So I'm going to go five as the Knicks. I think they've got a lot of good stuff. They'll definitely be one or two in the East because it's not very hard to be one or two in the East. I mean, look at who else they've got to beat. The Celtics are just destroyed by injury this year. Who else we got? The Magic are terrible. The Pacers are the third best team right now.
And they're a try-hard team.
Yeah, but they're not going to win a championship.
No,
that's just not who they are, especially with Larry Bird gone as the GM. Right. Okay, so we've got five as the Knicks. Let's say four, I would have to say the Clippers are there for me,
or
number four. Because even though, like you said, Blake Griffin's playing out of his mind right now, and they've still got CP3, although he's not back from injury yet.
Yeah.
Not fully, anyway. And then after that, they've got great bench scoring.
They're stacked. There's no denial, even though the Heat, they're the most stacked team.
Yeah, they are the deepest team.
Yeah. I think they're right on the brink of just huge
things. They've got what happened to the Mavericks like in 2007 when they had such a great regular season and then they lost to the number eight Golden Warriors.
Right.
Golden State Warriors. So I think they'll be a great regular season team, but they will not do that well in the playoffs. Like we saw last year, they had a great team and they got swept by the Spurs, who arguably that season,
there's just too many teams in the West that can beat you all the way down to the eighth seed.
All right, let's go three now. I think I'd have to put the Miami Heat in number three.
Wow.
Okay. I don't think, like, even though LeBron James playing amazing basketball. He's right. The last five games, he's averaged 30 with 60% shooting. So he's
playing out of his mind.
Yeah, and
60%
no one
shooting from a basically a guard.
Right,
you have,
and no one
you
has
Dwayne
no
Wade.
One has
you have
ever,
Ray Allen. You have Chris yeah. Bosh.
Yeah, and no one has ever done six games in a row. We'll see if he can do that tonight. But no one's ever done 30% and 60% in six games in a
His
row.
Oh, I think having a guy
incredible.
Like Ray Allen on the outside would
right.
really
that'll
help
be good too.
Open up lanes for LeBron yeah. this year.
But I think both Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh are majorly down this season. They're not playing anywhere near where they should be. They're not playing at the money that they're making. So that's my three. I think the Spurs are two. I love my Spurs, but I can't put them at the championship yet. And I'm going to have to put the Thunder at one. Because
okay.
they've got Kevin Durant, as we
pick.
Talked about. Yes.
So do you have the Thunder winning at all?
I don't. I think this is my top five right now.
Okay.
I think the Heat will win the championship. I think they'll come back because LeBron, like I said,
yeah.
is just...
I agree with you. I think when it comes playoff time, you're just not going to be able to stop them. They're going to bring it to a new level.
Right. I've got the Heat and the Thunder or the Heat and the Spurs. I don't think the Knicks can beat the Heat just with what they have. I think if Stoudemire can get back to what he was back in like 07 Phoenix days, we could have a good, and it's going to be a good series. But I just think Miami wins that series in six or seven games, easy. But anyway, I think the Heat win it. I think it's the Heat versus the Spurs or the Thunder.
Okay, my wild card team.
Okay.
For this season is the Chicago Bulls. They're already a
if
team.
If Derrick
with,
Rose comes back,
they're already
Rose
a team with 30 back. Wins.
Right.
And that's without Derrick Rose, their best
because
player.
Because Thibodeau is the best defensive mind in the world.
And so I would just love to see what happens.
Like,
when
play
D
defense
Rose comes
have
back.
No offense.
Right.
I'd love to see what happens when D Rose comes back because he brings you that offense.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, your starting point guard right now is Nate Robinson.
Exactly.
Kirk Heinrich.
And he's not back either.
That's
he's not
team,
back?
No, he's not.
That's a team that could do some serious damage in the postseason if they get D Rose back.
If they get D Rose back.
That's a big if.
And if D Rose is D Rose.
We've seen enough with Dirk to know that you may come back from a knee problem.
But then you have guys like Adrian Peterson who have come back even better. So
you
never know what's going to happen with these knee things. So.
All right. Well, let's move on because we're running out of time in this segment. So let's do this real quick. The Mavs are talking no shave until they get to 500. Are they going to have Santa-length beards by the end of this year?
I love it. I love what they're doing. They had a video come out where they're urging all the Mavs fans to do the same thing, to no shave until they get back to 500. The video comes out and says, "We do it because it's our passion. We do it because we're not quitting. It's our team. It's our city. We do it because of you." Mm-hmm. And, I just love the solidarity of it. Hopefully it'll bring them back together. Maybe it could be a rallying cry for the rest of this season.
Right.
I don't think they're done quitting. They've had so many close losses recently. I just don't think they're done. I think they're still trying. I think they still have a good shot to do it. They're still only five games back.
Right. Okay.
I don't think they've quit, but I think they need to learn how to braid their beards so that
they won't
be too out of
dragging
shape.
On the floor.
I think that's a very hasty bet to make.
I mean, they're already seven games below 500 right now.
Right.
So it's going to be tough no matter what. All right, let's move on to the next topic. Are the Mavs going to make the playoffs even if they don't get to 500?
Being five games behind, I think they can do it.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. I think the Lakers are just in the same fight as them. I think the Lakers want it just as bad as them. They're just not growing beards. So
they're just not growing beards. Okay.
I mean,
yeah, but do the Lakers really care as much as the Mavs, though? When you watch them play,
I think Kobe Bryant does.
I think Kobe's always going to try. But when you watch the Lakers play,
when you look at Howard's effort,
they just don't.
I think Howard is the problem in LA.
Right.
And
they've won.
They have all the talent in the world.
Yeah, they've won more without him.
Yeah.
Pau Gasol is going to hurt the Lakers.
All the talent in the world.
Right.
I don't think either of them are going to make the playoffs.
I think right now the Lakers are the NBA's Cowboys.
Well, I'll be the last. I'll be the last Mavs fan standing.
Okay.
On the rallying cry, but I think they make it. I think they squeak in at eight.
Okay.
I think Dirk comes back with an incredible second half of the season. Plays like his old self. Gets back in the 20-point range every night.
He did score 20 against Atlanta.
He looked really good. He looked really good in the game.
Right.
But it was one of those too little, too late kind of fourth quarter pushes.
Okay.
So, you know, we'll see what happens, but I'm not done with him yet.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next one. We've got any trades before the deadlines real quick.
Nope.
No trades?
I would say no, unless you're just able to get a huge name.
Right. Even Dirk has said he doesn't think it's going to happen.
Wait it out.
I just don't think it happens.
Right. Okay. What about the next one? Last night's game against the Hawks, they lost 105-101. Did you guys watch the game?
I watched it. The Hawks are good. They're a good team.
Josh Smith had a really good game.
I mean, we had it. The problem is our team is just so – it just looks like they don't know what they're doing sometimes. Like,
right.
Like O.J. Mayo is frustrates me so much. His turnover last night on a breakaway layup, down one. Doesn't even – Devin Harris stole the ball from him. I mean,
right.
Protect the ball. This is the end of the game.
All right, so we talked Josh Howard on the Hawks. Devin Harris is also on the Hawks. He used to be a Mavs. Josh Smith has said that Dallas is one of the places he would go because he's an unrestricted free agent this next year. And so did Devin Harris. If the Mavs miss out on Howard next offseason, would you guys sign Josh Smith or Devin?
I would rather stick it out with the group we have.
I'd rather keep Collison than Devin Harris.
Yeah,
Josh Smith, a possibility.
I mean, we have all the offense in the world. Our team is an offensive powerhouse.
You need more defense.
We just got to get an inside stopper.
Okay.
We're still seventh in the league in scoring. I mean, I say this every week, what our scoring. We're still seventh in the league in scoring. It's not a problem, 11th in assists. I'm telling you right now, if you score 100 points a game in the National Basketball Association, you should be winning.
All it takes is a mediocre defense to win. Right. And we just don't even have that.
Not even mediocre.
If we could get
like
to
a Joakim Noah.
If we could get to the mediocre level.
Or
Boozer.
Anderson Barjow.
Just someone.
Yeah. Just some bruiser.
Just a try hard post who's going to get in there and just, man, that's all we need. We're so close.
All right. We got to move on real quick because we're getting close to the end of the show. We're going to just go ahead and X the final segment, but we're going to keep with this basketball theme. Let's move on to college basketball. We've had some crazy finishes this last week. A lot of number one or number two teams just falling by the wayside. It seems like every week when a team's made number one, they lose to somebody. We saw it a few weeks ago with Louisville, a few weeks ago with they weren't number one, but Kansas losing to TCU. And then this week, Indiana was number one, and they immediately lost to Illinois.
Pretty much if you're in the top five.
Yeah.
If you're in the top five, you're going down.
Yeah. You've heard NBA scouts come out and say, this is the weakest draft class since they can remember.
Right.
And I think you see that. I think you see teams who have all-stars, but they don't have... There's no team with that one player who's just not going to lose. You know, there's no huge name out there. And so... I think that's why you keep seeing these top teams
so good for the
getting
game.
Beaten by
it's,
each other.
It's great
so
for college
good
basketball.
For the business of college basketball. Yeah. It's.
I mean, the March Madness time will really be March Madness.
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
Year.
Oh, like, I don't be see more upsets this year.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's not even one top three seed in the Final Four.
Right.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, I think eight seeds could win it this year.
Yeah,
I think
and win it.
Like, I think an 11 seed could go to the Final Four. I don't think they win, but I think an 11 seed could make the Final Four.
I mean, the last time I think someone won it was like NC State won it at the 12th seed and Jim Valvano coached
there in like
season. The 80s. So like they had to win the conference tournament to get in. And I think you'll see that too. You're going to see teams win their conference tournament that never should have any business in the NCAA tournament and then go on to be successful in the tournament.
Okay, well let me ask y'all, who do y'all think the best team right now in college basketball is?
Best team or best like top five?
Just
best team
right now.
Okay.
Number one team.
You go first, Taylor.
The number one team. It's so hard because everyone loses, so how can you say?
Right.
I'm going to say, this is going on a limb a little bit, I'm going to say Miami.
Okay.
I think Miami's the best team. I think Miami has great athletes.
Okay.
They're getting great support right now. Like their home and court advantage is great. I just think that they're on this winning streak, number one in the ACC. They're beating up on everyone. I think they had the type of team, the type of players that started the year, not focused to winning every game. I think it was more of a let's play our hardest every game and see what happens. Now I think they have a formula to win. Now I think they know this is how we play, this is how we win, and they haven't lost since they've had that.
I'm actually with you 100%. I have Miami as my number one team as well. They're 19-3. They haven't lost a game in their division. In the games where Reggie Johnson and Duran Scott have both been available, they haven't lost.
Right.
They've won every game. And those are two of their big stars. So they've had some injuries. So they're basically undefeated with their entire team. They beat Duke by 27 points. They beat North Carolina by 26 points.
They were
points.
Up on Duke by like 30-something, too.
I mean, yeah. They're blowing these teams out of the water.
I think
water.
They almost beat Duke by 40. It was ridiculous.
It was close, yeah.
I'm also going to say, though, I want to regress and say that I said Miami was the best. Ever since the beginning of the season, I've thought Indiana was the best team in the league.
Okay.
Miami has just recently had this. I think Indiana's still so close, and it could flop each week, Miami, Indiana.
Well, yeah, Indiana, their three losses are a combined 10 points. And two of them were by 2 points.
And they've had a target on their back since the beginning. They've gotten everyone's best game.
Right.
Every gym they've gone into, everyone that's coming to their gym, they have gotten that opponent's best game of the year.
And they're an offensive powerhouse, fourth overall in field goal percentage and second
they're
overall.
They're so efficient.
In
if you ever
game.
Watch them, if you ever watch Indiana, just look at the efficiency they get on
shots.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, we saw against Ohio State, their latest game, when they just drubbed Ohio State.
It's hard to stop them because it's so efficient.
And because they don't commit turnovers.
And that's the type of team who makes it far in March.
All right. I will say Syracuse is my number one team. We're not hearing much about them, but we don't see them lose big games. They just don't lose. Jim Boeheim is an amazing coach.
Phenomenal.
Yes. All right. So let's go on to the next part. We're going to skip Naismith Award because Billups and I don't know that much about it. You probably do. Give us your Naismith pick if you've got one.
Naismith Award? Oh, gosh.
I'd give it to Plumlee.
Plumlee? Okay.
No, I'm probably going to give it to Cody Zeller at Indiana. I think
he's
just dominant. The big handsome.
Right.
Seven feet.
Yeah.
Can't beat 7 feet.
That's true. Okay. Well, let's go to the next part. Number one seeds in the tournament.
Ooh.
I have Indiana, Michigan, Miami, and Duke. Taylor?
Indiana, for sure. Miami, for sure. I think they'll win the ACC and Indiana will win their league. Next is just kind of, I think Gonzaga, because I don't think Gonzaga is going to lose again.
Yeah,
and
they're
Michigan,
in the top five right now.
I think Duke's about to slip.
Okay.
I think Duke is really,
well, they
ever
have
since
a big
Ryan
game
Kelly,
against Miami. Coming
yeah,
up
when
and
Ryan Kelly
North
got
Carolina
hurt,
too.
I think they're going to start slipping. I think they'll lose not a whole lot, but 3 or 4 games here in this last stretch.
Right.
Won't go very far. I think they'll be like a 2 or 3 seed.
Okay.
And so I'm thinking Gonzaga is going to sneak in because I don't think they'll lose again. Florida is my next one. I think Florida will win the SEC. So I don't think you'll see two Big Ten teams, two SEC, two ACC, and the number one spots. I think you'll see them kind of spread out. And I think Gonzaga will be a big surprise. Mark Few's a great coach for the Zags. And I think that's really going to help them finally get to that number one seed that has eluded them.
Okay. I'm going to go real quick. Miami, Gonzaga, Kansas, and Syracuse is my number one seed.
I actually like that pick.
Okay. Well, we don't really have enough time to do the Final Four. We'll cover that next week. Let's really quickly cover A&M Commerce basketball.
Let's do it.
What's happened this last week?
So, Abilene Christian, that kind of hurt with the girls and boys here.
Right.
So, we both lost that game, and I think that hurt both of us. The good thing is we're still both very much in contention for the conference tournament,
right,
which is everyone's not first goal, but it's a secondary goal. It's a huge goal to reach. I think the girls lost to Angelo State this past Saturday, but the boys won. So that was, score was 96-90, offensive clinic.
Yeah,
yes,
good game.
Big time.
Wow. Good game.
Very good game. Lots of three-pointers, trust me.
Right.
But the good thing coming up is that these next six games, I think the girls have 6 games left too, is really going to show who wants it. It's a dogfight. I know that Abilene Christian really needs to make it. They're going D1 next year. Their coach really needs this bad. They need to make the conference tournament. So they're going to be scrapping too, and we have to also.
Right.
Because 6 games tied at 7th and 8th, that's tough.
Yeah. The women, this is just one note, this is the first time they can make the tournament in 4 years.
Wow. Yes, usually they've been out of contention by now.
This is the first time that the women's coach,
Coach Anderson.
Yes,
Nicole
Coach
Anderson
has had a chance to go to the tournament since coming here.
Yes.
Because she came here our freshman year.
Last time we had that girl who scored like 40 points a game, went to the
And that was 2008.
Drafted. Yes, and she was amazing. I think they went to the regional tournament or something that year. They went far.
All right, guys, that is about all we have time for. We're really quickly going to give you the upcoming schedule for A&M Commerce basketball. Wednesday, we've got a doubleheader against Incarnate Word in San Antonio. Saturday, we've got the pink game here at the Fieldhouse.
Kingsville.
Against A&M Kingsville. Big, important game there. And then The Wednesday, next Wednesday after this one, is at Midwestern, I think.
Yes, at Midwestern.
Yeah, so those are all big games. All right. So you've been listening to KETR's Locker Room. I'm Cooper Welch, Taylor Phelps, Ryan Billups. Thank you so much for listening.
And big thanks to Coach Carthel.
Yes, big thanks to Coach Carthel. We'll be back next week at 2 o'clock. Thank you.